This is HPR episode 2514 entitled Electronics Calculator Kit. It is hosted by Anibil and is about 33 minutes long and carries an explicit flag. The summary is, Anibil talks about building a $16 electronics calculator kit.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Hello, this is NY Bill, and I'm back again with yet another electronics kit. It's got to be a series by now, right? Every once in a while, I'm on some webpage, and this always becomes like an impulse buy thing. This one, recently, I was on Amazon, like a few days back, and I'm going to brush up on some old electrical calculations just to refresh my memory, like parallels and resistors in parallel and series and amps and all that, just like a refresher. And I started wondering, geez, I wonder if they make a calculator where you can just like, you know, press a button and like do Ohm's law real quick and stuff like that. So I looked on Amazon, and yes, they do make calculators like this, like electronics calculators. And it turns out they make like calculators for carpenters that figure out, you know, whatever they got to do in the houses. They make these specific calculators. But they were like $80 each, and that's a little bit silly. And I'm sitting there with my phone in my pocket, and I go, there's a calculator on my phone. And then I go, there must be like a scientific calculator for my phone, you know, do square root and stuff. Quick app search, and yep, there it is. But still, it is nice to have like a dedicated calculator, and, you know, just have, it's easier to hit the buttons than holding your phone, and it gets a little fiddly that way. Then I remembered my wife still had a calculator, Texas Instruments, that does all the scientific things. So I grabbed that, and I figure out I'll use that. A few days after that, I wondered if they had like a electronics, like a workbook, just something that, you know, it'll give you a problem per page and then you figure it out. And then, you know, just, so I go back on Amazon and I look, and I did find one, and I have that book now on the shelf. I'm not going to say what book it is, or because I haven't even opened it up. I don't know if it's good or useful. So, but if it is, I mean, that could be a follow-up HPR. I have three books that I have one book I've had for a while on electronics, The Art of Electronics. I have another one that's pretty good. I'm looking at it now. Hang on. Let me just grab. Okay. J.M. Hughes. It's called Practical Electronics. That's a good book. I recommend that one. And then, well, I'll just mention what this book is, but it's this other book that I ordered recently. It's Mastering the Art of DC Circuit Theory by Paul Rigoli. But I can't say if that's this book or it's good or bad because I haven't even opened the cover yet. But there you go. Anyways, I forget how I found out about this book. It might have just been a search somewhere. I go onto Amazon. I find the book. I click. I add it to the basket. It's only like $16, and I figure, let me just search around. Maybe every once in a while I do this. Let me just search around and see if there's new electronics kits, something, you know, just for fun to build up. And I think the algorithm of Amazon knew I was looking at calculators and now knows I'm looking for an electronics kit. And weirdly enough, an electronics calculator pops up, a kit. So this, it's in front of me right now. I haven't opened it. I'll tell you why I don't need it, but I just thought it was neat. So, and it'll be a fun little project. I can't imagine there's too much to assembling this because there's not much in modern calculators these days. It's like one single chip and then just buttons and a screen that's in a battery. And sometimes not even a battery, just a solar pack. But there is like a neat little feature to this one that it will be a neat little calculator just to build up and leave here on the bench. And well, let's open it up and I'll see, you know, how it looks. This is probably going to be like the build leaning towards like a beginner's kit. So we'll see. Let me see what's in here. Oh, actually, it has a lot more parts than I thought. You gotta assemble all the buttons. Keep digging in here. It's like bags and bags. Alright, I've seen this type of construction before. It's all like laser cut on plexiglass. And then you peel off like paper on either side of the plexiglass. I'm filing all these bags right on the floor because that's how we do it here. Here's the little screen. Oh, I've seen this style screen before. I think I have some of these. And it looks like it has the screen drivers right on it. Here is the chip. What is this chip? IAP 1704 HPB055. I'm gonna have to look that up. Then you get all the tactile buttons, button caps, the screws to, here's the main PCB. Okay, this doesn't look bad for soldering. And then, okay, a little coin cell for a battery, a header, a few transistors, caps. And here is the neat little thing. These are, where are they? Instructions. And then this little thing that I thought was neat. These are little, it's a piece of paper. You're gonna cut these, the numbers out and the plus and the minus and the square root and all that. And it goes underneath these clear caps and they go over the tactile buttons. But on the numbers themselves, are the resistor numbers. So one is brown, two is red, three is orange, four is yellow, five green, on and on and on. So it would just be neat, if you're wondering what a resistor is, just look over at these buttons and there's all your color chart. I keep a color chart for resistors on a little cork board above the bench here, but I printed it on a black and white laser printer, so I just have to like read the color and read the number. This one's, it'll just be quicker or more, you know, it's more fun. Oh, that's neat. They give you a schematic too. You can see how it's built up. The pinouts of the chips. I wonder if this is an open source project. Anyways, let me, I'll pause here. I'll just start building this up. And I'll take a few pictures along the way and I'll talk about it after it's built. All right, I'm just popping back in for a minute in the middle of this build. The instructions are pretty sparse. And it doesn't say, you get a pin header, female and male, for the screen, and it doesn't say whether to put the male in the board or the male in the screen or vice versa. So I'm just going to take a guess and say the board's going to get the female, and if I get it wrong, I'll pull them all out and I'll tell you guys and save you the trouble. But so far, this is a, I am going to say that this is a good beginner's kit. You're not going to be doing SMD stuff. You're not going to be doing 1,000 components or, you know, well, I'm exaggerating with 1,000. There's no, I don't think there's any kits with 1,000 pieces. But you're not going to have like, you know, 40 different types of resistors and you can confuse things and it takes you forever to sort it out. So far it's been an easy build. And it's going to be a while soldering up all these buttons, but I'll see how it goes. All right, back to the soldering pen. Okay, these buttons are a bit of a trick. I usually use that soldering cradle. I've mentioned it before, it's like a blue little stand that you can put the board in and spin it around, load the components, spin it, and solder them up. But these, I tried putting the tactile buttons in and hold them with my finger, but what I found is the easiest thing I found is I just loaded all the buttons, carefully flipped it onto the table, then you can push down on the whole board with your finger. You can probably hear all the buttons clicking right now. Just to make sure they're seated, and then put the soldering pen, and you can use the pen to hold down as well, and then use your other hand to put the solder on, and then just keep going like that. Otherwise, you're going to end up having to either hold all these with your finger or put tape over them, which sometimes works for one component, but if you have a whole row, like these are four in a row, sometimes the two ends will be held by the tape, but the middle ones will bulge out. So I'm finding this easiest. Load all the buttons. Flip it over, put it on the table, and you can just push the whole entire thing down with either your finger or the soldering tip. And I'm about a third way through these, so let me keep going. All right, I'm back. That was actually a two-day gap there. This usually happens in the HPRs I record. I got to the point in the build where it needs batteries, and I didn't have any of the battery. It says in the instruction here, power supply is 2 CR 1220 batteries. So I went back to Amazon, and I ordered CR 1220s, and I have them here now, but they look like they're not going to fit. They look too small. I also have CR2032s, which is the ones you use for motherboard BIOS. And I have some A76 or LR44s, but those I use in my digital micrometer. So let me see if these... It says in the instructions that you use these 1220s, so let's pop one open. Here, I'll take a picture, and if you look at this picture, you'll be skeptical just like I am, because it looks like these want CR2032s, which is that one we're all familiar with, about the size of an American nickel, and they're used on motherboards. I don't know where I put the camera now. So on the right there are the CR1220s that it's calling for. They are really tiny, and they're really thin. You can see on the board... Well, maybe they'll fit, but this is kind of ridiculous. All right, let me just try. Well, they do fit, but you like lose them inside the socket. They go that far in. I wonder if let me just try one of these bigger ones. These are both 3 volts, right? Yes, I'm talking to myself because you're not going to answer me. Yeah, they're all 3 volt. So let me see if these sockets are for CR2032s. I don't know why the instructions told me to get these really tiny ones. They do fit, but they just, you lose them in there, they get buried. Alright, let's see if it powers on. So that's on. Oh, I gotta put the screen in, and I gotta put the chip in. It's been a couple days, like I said, so I forgot exactly where I was. Where's the chip? I think we should strike a deal. Every time I do an HPR, one of you should come over here and clean this desk. Because it's a mess. Where is the... I have no idea where the chip is. Can't go farther without the chip. It's kind of a needed part. Put it over here. Oh, it got stuck to a plastic bag with electric tape, and it was on the floor. It's a good thing I didn't step on that. All right, let me pop this in. You always got to squeeze the legs a bit to get into the sockets. I don't know how the pick and place does it. It must squeeze them as well, I'm sure. Oh, I remember reading I'm doing two things at once. One of the Amazon reviewers saying I didn't like that you had to bend the pins. I didn't know what they were talking about. I'm doing it right now. I have to bend these pins. It's like the pitch. The socket is not the exact socket you need, but... I thought all this is pretty standard. Wow, one of the pins just bent. Tried to go into the wrong hole in the socket. Yeah, this is what that reviewer was complaining about. Where are my needle nose? Wow, that could be... that could stop the project right there if that pin broke. Just almost swore. It bent again. Or is this a different one? Okay, there's the top side. Wow, that was a pain in the butt. Okay, you guys are warned too, so it would probably been better if I got some needle nose and preformed them, but I was just trying to use my fingers. As soon as I put the LCD screen in, the LCD screen lit up. And I got nothing. Alright, so I'll have to do some troubleshooting, which I enjoy, because... Oh, now I see, possibly, maybe not. No, I think these want the bigger batteries, the CR2032s. Okay, I'll press pause again and check around and see why this is... Oh, it just went off. Oh, it's on. And I have two zeros. And I'm able to input numbers. Oh, there's 253 plus. I'm just pressing buttons because I don't have any numbers on them yet. So I'm just pressing random buttons. 256 plus 44. Which one would be the equal sign? This one is 300. Yeah. Okay. I think this is working. I think I can put it in the case now. I like that the screen lights up. It's backlit. I've been using the... I'm just taking another picture there. I've been using the my wife's camera, like the scientific... Or not camera, calculator, the scientific one. I've been using that. I started getting into that book that I told you about, the Mastering DC or whatever it was called. So, but that screen doesn't light up at all. So I'm constantly like, you know, picking it up or turning it to a different angle. I wish that one had a backlight to it, but this one does have a backlight. I've seen this screen before, and it dawned on me yesterday that this is the same screen that's in a function generator kit that I built, which I don't think I ever talked about. That could be another HPR. I'm locking myself into some more. And there, okay, it just did the auto timeout. So if I hit this again, okay, I think this is working. And I think it wants the bigger batteries. However, I got one big battery on one side and one small battery on the other side. So I suppose it can take either. But you're going to have to get, when you want to pull that little battery out of there, you're going to have to get some piece of like metal or something, grab it, hook it, and pull it out. So, all right, I guess I got to look into how to build this plexiglass case. There's like standoffs and stuff, but there is no instructions on how to build the case. So, and then the other thing that you do is you have to cut out like the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, plus, minus, divide, the square root, all that. You have to cut out little pieces of paper, and those go into clear buttons. Those go onto blue buttons. Those blue buttons snap onto the tactile buttons. And then hopefully this all fits in the case, and I can come back and let you guys know how it works and try. I'll go through some functions, try and do square root and or scroot, as I hear. Who says scroot? Somebody on... he's a fun guy to watch. He's on YouTube. Doc Schuster. I think he is a... teaches physics. But then after his classes, he does like a 5 or a 10 minute video about what that class was, probably just to help the kids if they want to go home and, you know, review the lesson again. This is neither here nor there, but if you're interested in like science and all this kind of stuff, check him out because he's entertaining. He does do a small series on electronics, like resistors in parallel, resistors in series and stuff like that. So when I said square root and I thought scroot, that's how he says it, jokingly. It just reminded me of him, so I just thought I'd mention it. All right, I'll be back after I figure out this plexiglass case. I've just started playing with the plexiglass case, and I glanced over at the instructions, and there's a QR code, and I wondered what that was, and right above that is a URL, and it is detailed diagram instructions. So I've been trying to go off this... Spartan instruction sheet here, which I'll go to the whatever this URL is, and once again I'm doing two different things. I'm peeling the stuff off the plexiglass. I'm gonna check out this URL and see how detailed it is, and maybe it'll just I've gotten the build together just intuitively so far, but this case has a lot of parts and I'm not sure which screw. There's two packs of screws, black ones and silver ones. So I typed in that URL and I get a warning. What was it? What did it say? Back. Go back. That this is a risky site and it has bad software on it. And I ignore the risk and I get a 400 and it's in Chinese. And this is a reported attack site. So get me out of here if this isn't an attack site. I wouldn't do what I'm doing. Well, I don't use Windows, but I feel a bit safer with Linux. So I clicked forward. Wait, please don't visit this site now. Google detected heart. But all right, it's like warning after warning. Don't go to this site. I'll just back out. I'm sure I can figure this out on my own. And if I run into anything that's not intuitive or, you know, gives me more trouble than it should, I'll mention it here in the podcast so you don't have to struggle through it. But I'm still. This is taking longer than the build, actually. I'm peeling all this cardboard backing off of this plexiglass. I'll be back when the thing is built. So I'm back again, as usually happens with when I try and do a podcast. There ends up being pauses in it of days or weeks. This one was 2 weeks, so it's been a while. But I came back to the project. My wife has signed up to take a jewelry class at a local like art center, and she goes every Saturday. So I thought while she's away, it would be fun to like try and do a HPR while she's at the class, and I just have idle time. So that's what happened with this kit, and that was what, I don't know, 3 weeks ago. But then last weekend she had some type of flu thing, so she didn't go to the class. Anyways, she just left. I'm recording again. I have the calculator. I've finished it in the meantime, and I can just talk a bit about the build and some other things I found along the way. I'm still going to call this a beginner's kit for the soldering. If you want a kit to solder up, you're not going to get it. You're not going to have any little tiny SMD parts on this. You're not going to get into fiddly, soldering up ICs. You can do it with just a regular tip that's going to come in almost any soldering pen. The case build, however, is very fiddly. It's a bunch of little tiny screws and a bunch of little tiny nuts. And I mean, it's nice the way it all fits together, but screwing it all together it was a pain in the butt. And I had to do it like two or three times because there are standoffs. That's the first thing. I made a little list because I knew I wasn't going to be recording for a few days. So here's the four things on my list. There are standoffs. There's tall ones and short ones. The first time I built this up, I put the tall ones on the board with the buttons, and I put the short ones on the LCD board, and I had that backwards. So I had to tear it all apart again and put it. So I got a picture of that in the show notes just to show you the different standoffs. How would you say that? The shorter, yeah, they're standoffs. Put the shorter standoffs on the board that goes on the base of the whole calculator kit, and then put the taller standoffs. It's for the LCD screen. They are the depth, basically, of the LCD screen. Lets the LCD screens fit flat on the front face instead of sunken in or pushing out. The second thing. Okay, I built it all up. I got the standoffs right. I start to go populating the buttons. Here's the second thing on my note. Just, I know I, well, I think I did. I'm pretty sure I mentioned, I don't even know what I recorded weeks ago, that I put all the buttons on the board and I used electric tape to hold them and I flipped it over and I soldered them up quick. Don't do that. It bit me right here. I put the whole thing back together. I start populating the buttons on the calculator, and button 8 and 9, button 5 and 6, and button 2 and 3, which are all grouped in the center, were all leaning askew because the tape was not supporting them over there. It's probably best to solder these one at a time and make sure you got that button pushed down into the board. Solder it up, because if you have it crooked at all, you can't get the buttons in. There's a pretty tight tolerance between the face where the buttons go in and the buttons themselves. So that's tip number two. Tip number three, I put it all back together. I got the buttons going. The thing only lasted like 4 minutes, and then the battery was dead. I took it apart again. I put the other batteries in. Again, 4 minutes. I think these instructions that came with this kit are an old set, because I notice the square root button is different in the instructions than it is on the calculator. I bet whoever built this specced out these. What was those little batteries? You'll probably remember quicker than I do because you just heard it about 10 minutes ago. Oh, it says it on the sheet. CR1220 batteries. They're pretty tiny. I bet you, well, they would probably fit in a watch, like a wristwatch. And then I remember speculating that they originally spec'd these out for the CR2032s, which you'd see on motherboards. And anyways, I put the whole thing together with what the instruction said, and it only lasts 4 minutes. Those little tiny like watch batteries, I don't think they can power that light on the LCD for too long. So I tore it all back apart. I went and got the coin cells, the CR2032s, and they do fit. You push them all the way in, and I'm looking now. Yeah, they fit fine. I think there was probably like a design change because the other batteries weren't lasting and they just didn't update these instructions. I bet if I could get to that the web page where the online instructions are, they probably clear all this up, but I kept getting that attack page thing, attack page, so I just braved it alone. So if you can't get to the new instructions and you don't want to brave that attack page, I'm trying to help you out here if you buy this kit. And okay, that's it for my notes, except for one thing at the very end. So usage. Well, you press on, of course. I have it here next to my I have a Texas Instruments TI-36X. This is the one I use when I'm doing calculations. I don't really need all the power of this, like I never do some of this stuff that you might do. And what I'm saying is there's buttons here that I never touch, but this calculator was only $25. I use square root a lot. I use parentheses. I like to try and do my calculations as like a one-liner on the computer, the calculator. And anyways, after building up this kit, I like it. It's fun. It's a neat kit. It's going to be cool to leave on the table, but when I'm doing calculations, I'm still going to be grabbing this Texas Instruments. I'll tell you why. So let's just go through the functions of this thing here. You press on. You can just do, any 25 times 3. You get your result. You press on. It clears it again. There's a backspace. If you put a wrong number in, you can hit back. That's handy. The thing that I thought was neat when I saw this kit is each of the numbers, if you look at a picture there, each of the numbers has a color band on it. And those are the color bands of resistors. So one brown, two red, three orange, on and on. It's just neat if this is on the desk somewhere and I do have the resistor chart. You'd think I'd have it memorized by now, but I have the resistor chart up on a cork board, but it's printed in black and white. It'll be neat just to look over and what was green again? Five. Just look over at this calculator. The other thing you can do is you press on. You press the mode button, and then you can enter a resistor's value that you have in your hand. So let's say yellow. Well, this is the one in the instructions. Yellow, violet, black, and brown. And then you press one of the other buttons, which is the multiplication and the division. Those will give tolerances. So in this case, they're saying put in brown for. So there, it tells you what the resistor is. 4700 at 5%. You can, oh, I just turned it off. Press mode. Then you can do, that was a five band resistor. If you want to do a four band resistor, you press the square root symbol, but it's also a selection button. So you press that and you see the color band ring changes to four. And then you can put in green, red, yellow. Again, this is the one in the book here. And then you choose your tolerance. So 5%. So I got a 420K resistor at 5%. Just another neat little function of this. Another thing you can do is calculate the working voltage of LEDs. And you can also convert from decimal to hexadecimal with this. It does have, in regular mode, it does have square root. So square root of 100 is going to be 10. So there, that works. The thing that's missing on this that I use all the time is parentheses, brackets. So you want to calculate some resistors in parallel. Let's say you got a, I'm just going to pick these numbers for ease of use, a 4 ohm and a 5 ohm. So you'd go 1 over 4 equals, so and then you got to write that down, 0.25. And then you got to do your 1 over 5. Then you got to write that down again, 0.2, and then you got to add them together. So 0.2, you can do this in your head, but I'm just doing it on the calculator. Plus 0.25 equals 0.45. Then you have to do the 1 over that again. So 1 over 4.5 equals 0.022, and then they put a plus because they mean the pluses are going to go on. But on the Texas Instruments, how I would do that is 1 over open bracket, 1 over 4 plus 1 over 5, close bracket, enter. You can see how much quicker that was. I got the answer. Hang on. These answers are different. Ah, okay. No, the answers are the same. I'm using my Texas Instruments in degrees, and when I put it into engineering, I get the same When I put it into engineering mode, I get the same result as this calculator. So they might be giving you engineering results, which would make sense, but I tend to use degrees. Anyways, I will miss the brackets on this thing, the parentheses. So there you have it. It's a neat kit. It's neat that you can look through the plexiglass and see all the insides, and it'll be a neat like conversation piece. I will use it, you know, if my Texas Instruments is in another room, I'm sitting here on the bench, I will use this. The case is fiddly, like I mentioned. Every time you want to change the batteries, you're going to have to take it apart and put it back together. I've considered making little slots inside. Here's one fiddly bit. When you put the LCD screen on, you put a screw through to hold it to the plexiglass, through the black front into the clear plexiglass. Then you have to take this little tiny nut and stick it in a slot and then get the screw to go in there. And all the time I would drop that little nut inside the case. It would rattle around, have to pull it out. I ended up taking some electric tape and wrapping around my finger, sticky side out, and then putting the nut on the tape and then sticking that in the slot and using a screwdriver. That worked out better. But just be warned, every time you go to change the batteries, you got to take this thing back apart. But for a $16 kit, it's fun. Go buy one. The last thing on my notes was, I know I mentioned books at the beginning when I recorded weeks back. And one of the books that I mentioned was Mastering the Art of DC Theory. And I said I couldn't say anything about it because I hadn't even cracked open the book. That is not a beginner's book. This one does not hold your hands. It assumes prior knowledge, so just be forewarned if you're going to investigate any of the books I mentioned in the beginning. This will give you a problem on one page and go through the solution, and then you flip the page over and you get the same problem with different values. You have to solve that one on your own, then look in the back of the book and see if you got the answer right. I'm enjoying it. I'm up on page like 76 now. It's good fun if you got some prior knowledge and you just want to brush up on some circuit theory and calculations and stuff like that. This isn't a review of the book. I just thought I'd follow up because I know I mentioned it. I suppose I can review some of these books, maybe when I'm done with this one or a little farther in. But anyways, this isn't a podcast about the books. It's about this calculator. I'll put some pictures in the show notes. If you guys want to contact me, I've mentioned my email so many times, you can find it, but really, I enjoy the HBR comment section more, so I've been using that because we just keep the conversation going there. Okay, until next time, this is NY Bill, signing off.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HBR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the binary revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.